Good morning. God bless you. Happy Father's Day, wherever you are. Okay, grab your Bibles if you would, please. Hold that up in the air. Repeat this after me. This is my Bible, and I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have, and I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open my heart, my mind, to God's Word today. Amen. Go and open up your Bibles one more time to Matthew chapter 6. We have been in a series on prayer. I'm going to conclude it today. And here we're talking about fathering, fatherhood. We're going to talk about God being a father to us. How we pray and the perspective we bring into our prayers changes that dynamic while we're praying. The perspective of ourselves, the perspective we have of God. You know, you can look all over the world and you can see different religions and how they interact with their God. And it says a lot about their perspective. Do they see themselves as servants and slaves? Do they see their God as distant and far away? What's the personality of their God? You can see a lot based on how they come to Him and how they react when they're around the things that represent Him. And I want us to have a perspective that Jesus actually teaches us to have. And for some of you, it might be something you used to kind of consider and something that was very real to you at one time. Maybe you let it slip away. Some of us coming from different church backgrounds, different very religious or traditional church backgrounds, we might never have really seen God as a father. I want to talk to you about that today. God still might be to you more of a ceremony, more of a picture on a wall or a statue or something very in a stained glass window, something very distant and far away. And today I want to help you see scripturally the perspective that God gives us that we should have and why we should have it when we come to Him in prayer. Now, in talking about God as a father in just a moment, I want to also consider that many of you in the room or watching online did not have a great example of a father in your life. Now, I want us to understand when a father isn't acting appropriately and doesn't do what he's really called to do, we can see how much woundedness and baggage it leaves in the life of a child. But that just shows us the power of a good father in the life of a child as well. And so maybe you did not have the right ideal of a father. And I just want to ask you if you would please set that image aside and take on the perfect image of a good, good father in God and let Him paint a better picture for you. Because even if you had the absence of a father or a quality father in your life, your heavenly Father is good and He's there and He's present and He's here now. And He's here to be all those things that your earthly father maybe never was. And so I would ask you to not put up any walls with that phrase father or hurt from the wording of father and let God actually maybe redeem that word or heal that word in your heart. Is that okay today? Can we do that? All right, here in Matthew chapter 6, I'll lay a foundation. Jesus speaking. Now, the background of this passage of scripture is this is the Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus is teaching to crowds of normal, everyday people just like us. This is not something He's just teaching to the spiritual elite, but He's talking to all of us. And so what's wonderful about this is all those things that He's about to say relates to each one of us. It's not for a special group of people. It's for all of us normal people that are going to be interacting with God. And so Matthew chapter 6, the Lord begins to talk to us about prayer. He's taught about a lot of things up until this point. And here in talking about prayer, verse 7, Jesus says, "And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetitions as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words." God is not hearing you because of the length of time or all the high-minded words that you use. God hears you because you're His covenant child. Even in that phrase, in that sentence, He refers to the Gentiles. I've talked to you about this over the weeks previous, but some of you are new to church, and that word Gentile is unfamiliar with you. That's anyone that's outside of the covenant nation of Israel. But we know because of Jesus, He brought us in to those covenants, into sonship and being a child in His family. And so that's not us. We're not considered that based in what Jesus did. Are you understanding? So those Gentiles were considered Gentiles because they didn't have a covenant. And that covenant was made in blood. And our covenant is made in the blood of Jesus. And so we are not heard as believers, as children of God. See, they were heard as covenant children, not because of their religious talking and many words. He was letting them know, you're heard because you're mine. You're heard because of the covenant that we have with each other. And we're the same way. You are not heard by God because you put 4 hours of lots of talking aside and you've earned God's attention. You have God's attention because he chose to give it to you, and it's yours based on Jesus' finished work in your life. Can we celebrate that? Is that okay? Good. For they suppose they'll be heard for their many words. So don't be like them. For your Father, underline that, please, in your Bible. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Then Jesus begins to lay an outline to learn from, not to become tradition, but to learn from. Pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. Now, the rest of the passage is pretty familiar. I want to focus on that first part. Now, let's consider this is Jesus who is God in the flesh. Do we have that in agreement? Okay. So now God is teaching us how to approach God in our prayer life. And he says, your Father, which is making now God way out there personal. And he's putting a perspective in order as you approach. He's giving you a mindset to turn on and to put into focus when you come to pray. He's saying, your Father, your personal Father. And then later he says, who is in heaven? Our Father who is in heaven. Now I want you to see something about where our Father is. This is not my message, but something that I think is appropriate. That when we reach in prayer out to our Heavenly Father, I thank God he is enthroned in heaven. Heaven and his throne is high above, out of all the garbage I'm going through right now. So the answer that is coming to me and the help that's coming to me is superior to whatever crisis or problem I'm walking through right now. Now, he's with me in the valley, but he's still on his throne in heaven. Are you understanding? And so I'm reaching even out from my cloud of darkness I'm walking in, my storm, my calamity or opposition, and I'm reaching into my Father who is in heaven, okay? And that's where his love is coming from. That's where his vision and perspective is coming from to give me answers. That's where his power, which is above all things on the earth, above and heaven and below, that he's totally in authority over everything. And so I'm reaching into a greater, superior helping hand than what I'm walking through right now. So I think that's pretty awesome. All right, so let's talk about this just for a minute. Jesus God, told us what perspective to have when we come to God. He first qualifies, he says, we pray like this, our Father. Now I want to talk to you about the word our there, which I think is pretty cool. Jesus is putting us, he's including himself in this conversation with us. He's basically saying that you are in perspective, you are in relationship with me, we're in Christ, we're the body of Christ. God is our Father and related to us as he's related to Jesus. And so we are not in some like weird relationship where we're way down here in the family totem pole. He is saying you are related to God as I am related to God. He is every bit your Father as he is my Father. You have been raised up and seated with me in heavenly places. You are a well-loved, well-protected, well-favored child. You see that? Our Father. He's not saying it's my Father that you get to borrow. He's saying he's our Father, and he's putting us on equal standing of relationship to the Father. Isn't that powerful? He's calling him ours. Even in calling him yours just a minute ago, because he wants you to know he's your personal Father, he then lifts your vision just in case you think it's a different level than it's the one he shares. And so he says yours, but don't forget your Father relationship is like our Father and my Father relationship. We're all on that same level in that relationship with the Heavenly Father. Isn't that awesome? And so Jesus is trying to help us understand that positionally. So he's trying to tell you the word Father. Now, the idea of Father is the idea of personal, relational. That's family. And then the second perspective that Jesus is trying to give us when coming to the Lord in prayer, because remember, he's saying, let's start praying. Let me teach you how to pray to the crowds. He's saying, come with this mindset, Father, our Father. Come with that mindset, which then gives me a secondary mindset, which means I'm his child. If he's Father, then that puts this perspective in me and puts me in right position so that I'm coming to him correctly as a child of God. Now, child doesn't speak of immaturity. Sometimes it's hard for us as adults to grasp the phrase child, because we always think of a child as immature. We always think of a four-year-old or a toddler or something, and we think to ourselves, I'm 40 years old and 50 or whatever years old, and so it's difficult for me to see myself as a child. But it's because you're thinking of child as maturity level when we're speaking of child as a position which you will always be no matter how old you get. Praise God that whether I'm 40, 50, 60, 80, 400, I will always be and enjoy being a child of God, my Heavenly Father. I never outgrow or age out of the family. Amen. And it's always great to know that my Father sees me as a child, that I even if my earthly father were to pass away and go on to glory, I still have an active, engaged father in whatever part of life I'm going through. Even when we are old one day and about to go through the grave, we get to hold the hand of our Father to walk us through that scary, challenging, confusing time maybe of life. Does that make sense to us? No matter what valley, no matter what journey we're going through, doesn't matter, you might be 85, 95, you still get to be his child. You still get to be his kid. You don't have to have all the answers, amen? You might have all the degrees right now. You may be a PhD. You might have a master's in this or that. You might have a lot of money. You might have no money at all. We all still get to be someone's child. See, we have to be the adult all the time in life. Isn't that true? We have to be responsible. That's one of the difficult parts of growing up. We have to be responsible. Man, you know, as a kid, I always wanted to get older. Now that I'm older, I always want to go back to being a kid. Anybody with me? Because of all the responsibility. But the truth is, we still get to be his child. We never age out of being his child. Now let's kind of layer all this together. So, in Jesus telling us, learning how to pray, remember what I said, it sets a couple perspectives. Sets him in proper perspective of who he is to us, but then it sets us in proper perspective of who we are to him. How does God see me when I go in to pray? And this kind of helps us with our Father. But I want you to see something. Jesus chose that name. He chose that title for a reason. Now, hopefully, for those of us who have been students of the Word for a while, you understand there are many names of God throughout Scripture. And those names are an awesome study. If you've never studied the names of God, each name of God reveals something about God's character or God's personality, and it kind of shows us more about this awesome, huge God that we get to serve. And there's so many of them. I'll just list a few. There's so many of these names, but listen to some of these names that we discover God throughout the Old Testament. Titles such as El Shaddai, which means the Lord God Almighty, or El Elyon, which means the Most High God, or Adonai, which means Lord Master. Yahweh means Lord Jehovah. Jehovah Nissi, which is the Lord my banner. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord is our righteousness. El Olam, the everlasting God. Elohim, God. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. And Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, and many, many more. Now, here's what I want you to see. When Jesus was talking to the crowd about approaching God, and he was thinking, what title should you come with? What perspective should you come with? He did not choose Adonai. He did not say, come when you pray and say, O Adonai, or O El Elyon, O Most High God, which he is those things. But he wants you to have, remember, this is God teaching us how to approach God. He said, come saying, Father. Amen. Now, in Jesus' mind, when he wrapped up God in the word Father to you, God is still all of those things. But all of those things relate to you and matter to you in the title Father. Amen. See, it's really hard to relate that the God Most High is somehow precious and near in my situation. But when you call him Father, I realize that the God who's my Father is Most High, and he's higher than whatever I'm going through right now. Yeah. See, in calling him Father, it doesn't diminish any of those titles, but it takes all those titles and it applies them to my life. See, my father, my daddy, is still all those things. My dad can truly beat up the devil's dad. I mean, beat up the, you know, the whatever, the bully who's bullying you. My dad is bigger than you. Does that make sense? The Goliath that's taunting me, my dad will take you out. Because he is, my father is El Elyon. He is Elohim. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is all these titles. He's all these attributes. He's all these qualities. But when Jesus was saying, when you come to pray, he's still all those things, but he wraps it in the package and calls him Father to you. Amen. So that you know how to relate to that huge, awesome God. Because he doesn't want to be this distant, just awesome God for you. He died for you to be his child, to be his kid. Are you understanding this? And so Jesus, God, is saying, when you approach with the phrase, Father, which then automatically puts you in position, child. We realize something. This is something I was kind of meditating on this morning in that concept of Father. Like, that's unique to us. You see, to the angels, God is God and God is creator. To every other thing created, he's God and Lord and he's creator, but he's not Father. Does that make sense? This is a unique title that he created, that he became, and he became a father when we were created. That's something really interesting. Maybe you should study that out. I don't have all the answers to that, but it's something that kind of, in meditating on it today, kind of came to light. He literally became father when we were made. For everything else, he was creator, but he wasn't necessarily father. He's father to us. He didn't tell the angels to call him father. He didn't tell the beasts of the field to call him and worship him as Father. They worship him as King. They worship him as Lord of the universe. We say Father. We get that privilege. Come on, somebody. That's awesome. We get to. But he didn't have to. Those are things that we just take for granted. We're like, yep, Father, yep, I've heard it my whole life. Listen, before we were ever made, angels didn't have that framework. Do you see that? Like, we think he just had to be Father. He wasn't Father. He was creator. He was almighty. He was omnipotent. He was all-powerful. He's all these things. But he chose to be a Father. And that involves us. That's awesome. Amen. It's a privilege that came from his heart. When a man decides to have children, he is deciding to take on the full and lasting responsibility for them. When a man decides, now we know culturally people can accidentally have kids sometimes, they weren't thinking about it, or they can just, you know, whatever, be a dad some other way. But when God made a decision to be a father, it's a quality decision. Amen. And the thing about being a father, it's forever. It's a commitment that you go into knowing there will always be this relationship. It's not temporary. Amen. Now again, you may have a framework of a bad father in your mind, but I'm talking about God who's a good father. When God made a decision to be a father is forever. Amen. That relationship, you're always their child. You will always have a need for them, and they are fully aware when they bring you into this world, they are committing themselves, all that they are, all that you'll need, and they're committing for a long-term commitment. And God knew all of that when he decided to have us as kids. He was completely aware of the lasting responsibility that he was taking on. And he said, I'm in. I'm in. He was aware of the challenges that having kids was going to present. He was aware of the difficulties children were going to cause. He was aware that he was going to be called upon consistently to fix things as a father. He was not uninformed. He decided and said, I will be your father. You see, it doesn't surprise him. And so, he's a good father, and I think about some of the names that we just talked about a minute ago, wrapped up in those names, and some of the things that maybe some of us have experienced or some of the challenges we walk through kind of relating to dads. Now, personally, I actually have been blessed. I've had a very good father in my life, and if he's watching right now, happy Father's Day, Dad. I honor you. You've been a great dad to me. But many of us have walked through different challenging times. But I think here some of the challenges in some of our lives are dads that walked out on us at some point in our life. Some of you in this room, dad wasn't there. But you know, there's a name of God that blesses me that we just listed, and it was Shama, which is the Lord is there. The Lord is there. See, in God being your father, he's committed himself to you. He is not going. Even Jesus tried to help pierce through that kind of doubt and that kind of pain in the life of a young person, and he said, I will never, ever ever leave you or forsake you. I will never abandon you or let you be an orphan. Our God is always there. Our Father will not walk out on us when times get tough. If we fail and stumble and blow it, He doesn't walk out on us because He's embarrassed or ashamed. If we have a need or a crisis or something's going on in our world, He doesn't hightail it out of the house because it's safe for Him. He knows He's there. I'm not going anywhere. That's one of the blessings of God being our Father, is God. Even in one of His names, it's just this simple, not really theological, not this huge doctrine. It's just God is there. I'm not going anywhere. When you're in a tough time, when you're in a tough spot, when you've made mistakes, I am not leaving you. And that's a good Father. Can we celebrate that about God? I am the God that's there. I'm a Father that's present. I am an ever-present help in your time of need. And I've just really felt that all weekend to reassure some of you who have that wound and that scar of a father that left. You know, here's the other piece. God never dies. And so some of you, your father died when you were young and he was never there. Your God doesn't die. He's always there. So I'm saying, even if you're 105, your Father is still there. Amen. He's there. He's a good Father. And He provides. Our God is a provider, Jehovah Jireh. God is not short on supply. He is a God who heals, Jehovah Rapha. He heals our heart. He heals our body. He heals our mind. He is a God who protects, Jehovah Sabaoth. He protects us from the enemy, and He even protects us from ourselves. You know, sometimes the enemy is not the devil. Sometimes the enemy is us. We do a good job wrecking our own life. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and that's nothing compared to what I do to my own life. And yet God is there as a good, good Father. You know, sometimes being a dad, I think one of my greatest responsibilities is just keeping the kids from hurting themselves. Like not playing in the street. It's not a good idea to jump off the house. Why are you climbing on top of the refrigerator? Don't stick your sister in the microwave. Any of those types of things. You understand? And yet God is a protector, and He's here to protect us. He's a protector from this fallen world. He's a protector from any scheme or scam of an enemy that would try to come in and hurt us. You know, I even had a conversation recently with my kids. They're starting to use the internet, and so we had to have a conversation about safety on the internet. And these are things that we look out for them, right? Thinking things in advance to help protect them from things they didn't know. Our Heavenly Father's same way. God speaks to us about how to look out for potential dangers and potential crisis because He's trying to be a Father to us. But again, it's allowing Him to be a Father in our lives. Some of us, this is a difficult challenge, this concept of Father and child. Again, because we think we're so old and so mature, and we forget that we still need a Father. We still need to run to Him and let Him be a Father. Amen. In our lives, not just God, not just, you know, Lord Almighty, but Father. Jesus was talking to adults when He preached this on the Sermon on the Mount. You hear me on this? He's talking to people. He could have easily said, call Him Sovereign One, call Him Adonai. They knew all those names, but He said, you come and call Him Father. Now, I believe Jesus was also telling us what God prefers, not just theology. Do you understand? God could have said, my favorite name is Elyon, rolls off the tongue, because God has an accent. You know what I mean? But no, God. When God gave us the ability to learn, have insight, God chose to say, call Him Father. He likes that. Right? That's awesome. Some of my frustrations in being a dad or trying to be a good father, I think many of you in the room and watching on the internet, you try to be a good father. I mean, if you're male, you try to be a good father. And some of my frustrations are things like, I can't be everywhere all the time. That's frustrating. When you have four children, we have four kids, you might have one, you might have two. Sometimes two feels like four, and sometimes four feels like 100, and like the walls are caving in on you. But you know, you're trying to help this kid with their schoolwork, this one wants to play ball, this one wants to sit on your lap, this one has a cough or a fever and you want to be there, and you cannot be everywhere at all times. I know moms have that same frustration. We love our kids and we wish we could be everywhere and meet their needs, but you can't do it, right? But guess what? God can be everywhere, and He can meet each of those needs at all times. He doesn't have the limitations I have in being a good father. Sometimes some of the limitations I face is I don't have enough supply. They need shoes for this, and they need sports fees for that, and they need camp fees, and they need school fees, and they need to eat, I guess, as well, and they need clothes, and they need haircuts, and they need this, and this, and this. And it's not that you don't want to do everything. You just sometimes run out of paycheck at the end of the month. There's just not enough to go, you know? And so God, praise God, never runs out of supply. You see what I'm saying? God being a good father, he's never short on supply. He doesn't have those same limitations, and so he can be all those things. One last thing that kind of comes to mind when I think about limitations as an earthly father is this desire to fix everything. I wish I could fix everything in my kids' lives. Somebody speaks a negative word to them, they get something happens at school, something gets broke, their heart gets broken, they, whatever. Even if they were to physically get hurt, break their leg or whatever, you wish you could just fix it all. But I am limited in how much I can fix. But God is not limited. He knows how to fix us mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. He knows how to fix situationally things. It may take time. Now, I can't change the heart of another person, but you know what? God actually can, through prayer and our ministry, can actually change the heart of another person, even in how they respond. God can get involved with every situation. God can fix things. And if he can't, if the people don't allow him to fix them that hurt your kid, he could still fix the heart of your child to make sure they're stronger in the next time something like that was to happen. You see, God knows how to fix things. He's a good father to us. Amen. He's a good, good father. Now, we've talked about God being a father, but let's talk about us being his children. Like I said, it's hard for us because we're adults. And as adults, we have a difficult time allowing ourselves to be childlike. Jesus even reprimanded the disciples and said, unless you repent, change your mind, and become like a child, which is an intentional effort. Because we have a tendency to grow out of childlike faith. We have a tendency to grow out of that image of a child because we start putting the world on our shoulders. Do you see? And God is saying, in this world, I'm still your father. I will always be your father. I've never asked you to carry the world on your shoulders. I've asked you to hold my hand and we'll walk through this world together, father and child. But we want to fix things ourselves, and we have to provide for ourselves, and we have to have all the answers for ourselves because we're adults now. We should know better. That mentality that haunts us as an adult, we think we should know everything. We should have it all sorted out. We're 40 years old. We're 50 years old. We're in our 60s. We should have it all sorted. You will never outgrow your need for a father. And God is never upset when we treat him like a father. And we go to him as a child. He's always upset with the opposite when we refuse to go to him and try to approach him as something other than a child, as a business partner, or even as a religious servant. God didn't call you that. He called you child. He called you son, daughter. He paid for you not to be servant, slave. He paid for you to be freed and become a son. Are you understanding what I'm saying on that? And so he did a lot of work to prepare this relationship that you could access as child to father. Like I said, we have this we should know better mentality, which blocks us sometimes. You know, something about children, when you put yourself back into a position of a child, you realize something. Children have needs. They just do. Your kids have needs, and that doesn't make them bad. That doesn't make them deficient. That doesn't make them a bunch of whiners. They just have needs. It's part of being a dad. Father, you have needs, and your heavenly father is waiting for you to ask him for help. But as an adult, how many times we have need of finances, and we're like, I'm going to get three jobs, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and we never go to dad and say, Dad, help. Because we think we have to fix and satisfy our own needs. We forget that there's a source above and beyond the crisis that has answers to those needs. Now, if God directs us to do a second job for a period of time, then his grace will be sufficient for that. But if you think you just have to fix it all because you're the adult, you're the mature one, you've got to go provide for yourself all the time. Now, yes, we must go to work. We must be diligent. I'm not talking about lazy Christianity, but I'm not talking to most of you that way anyway. That's not who you are. But so many times we have needs and we think I'm bothering God with my needs. I've asked him too many times for stuff. I asked him to bail me out last week, last month. But you know what? Children have needs. It's expected. God never, when he put us into his family, he never thought to himself, man, I didn't realize these kids were going to be so needy when I decided to have them. It's kind of understood, right? Like, children need everything, and they need mom and dad. They need dads to come in and be able to help them. It's not a burden that you have a need. It doesn't bug him that you come to him every day to ask for help for anything. That's not irksome. It's not annoying to him. It's part of the plan. It's part of what he designed. Amen? Yeah. Children have needs. Do not be embarrassed to come. Children have questions. They lack wisdom. Children ask why all the time. Why? They want to know. They don't know how to fix something the first time, so you show them how to do it. The other day, I was trying to teach the kids how to wash dishes and put them in the dishwasher, and my kitchen floor was a wreck. It's full of water and soap and all this stuff, and I'm thinking to myself, what? How do you not know how to put dishes in the dishwasher? This is not magic waters in the kitchen. You know, what? But you know, they had never done it, you know, so it's teaching them how to do it. They just need to be taught. You need to be taught. You have questions. You don't have all the answers. And that's okay. How many times in life do we just not have the answers to something? And again, we don't go to our Father to ask. Because we don't think of him that way. We think of him as forgive us of our sins. We think of him as a God. We want to go to heaven. But we forget this relationship. He's Father. He's currently real, reality. God doesn't mince words. When God says Father, he's desiring you to access him as such. How great would it be to sit down? Maybe your dad has passed on. Maybe you're older and your dad, or maybe you're not older. Maybe you passed on early. But how great would it be if your dad was filled with wisdom, counsel, direction, instruction, and you're going through something and you could sit down and have a cup of coffee with him and just pick his brain on how to go through this and how to do this better. You know, God can do that. Some of you, I wish you would just take me seriously and tomorrow morning have a cup of coffee with God your Father, sit down with a tablet and a pen and say, okay, God, my business is struggling, but you know everything. You have wisdom of how to turn my company around, this company around. I want it to prosper because I want the employees to prosper, and I want to use the finances to help people in the world, and I want to take care of my family. And so, Dad, I'm asking you for business advice. Dad, I'm asking you for counsel. Do you realize you can go to God for counsel? If any man lacks wisdom, James, the book of James says, let him ask of God, who will give it to you liberally, and he will not rebuke you for coming. Amen. And he says, when you ask, know that you've received. And so you begin to write down things in that meeting with God that God begins to put in your heart, ideas that come, solutions that come. It may come that moment while you're having your coffee. It may come throughout the day. But the important thing is you took the time to ask your Father advice. Wouldn't it be great? Some of you, I know, you didn't have a good example of that where your dad wasn't there. But remember, God is there. And not only is God there, he's a quality Father. He has wisdom. He has wisdom about your marriage. He has wisdom about your finances. He has wisdom about your businesses. He has wisdom about relationships that are broken and how to fix them. Will you ask? Will you take the time to ask and listen? I heard it said one time in a sermon how sad it is that we who know nothing do all the talking to the one who knows everything. Ask your question and shut up. Let God talk to you. Let your Father talk. Amen. Children, remember, we're talking about how we are. This is a mentality we have as children. Children have needs. It doesn't bother God that you have needs. Don't be embarrassed that you have needs. Children have questions. We lack wisdom. So we get to go to God and ask wisdom. Children get it wrong. Guess what? That's part of being a kid and growing up. You get it wrong. You make mistakes, right? I mean, I think sometimes that my kids are going to have an emblazed picture of my face in their head as they get older of this. This is, what were you thinking? In what world is that okay? When they think of their father one day. Because kids make mistakes. Can I get an amen? Amen. And guess what? You're still his kid and you still make mistakes. He's not shocked. God is not up in heaven going, Gabriel's looking at him. Are you understanding? You make mistakes. You blow it. You do things with good intentions and blow it. You do things with bad intentions and you blow it. That's part of being a kid. It's part of process and maturing. It's part of God reasoning with you, saying, don't do that. It's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt somebody else. Come, when we run to God with our mistakes, he can mature us out of those mistakes. When we run away from him in our mistakes, we stay in that immaturity. But again, we're not seeing us as child and father. We see him as judge or some sort of a distant God, Adonai, perfect, holy. But he didn't tell you to relate to him like that in your prayer. He said, come to me as father. You know, when I was a teenager, I made a whole lot of mistakes. I wrecked the car like 3-4 times. And I always got nervous every single time I went home to tell my parents that I wrecked the car. But they just talked to me and walked me through it. I remember one time it was for good intentions. I was growing up, I was an intern at a church, and there were these teenagers that were toilet papering the trees of the church. And I thought to myself, no, I am God's avenger. And I jumped in my car and I began to chase these teenagers out of the church, you know, like I would have whipped. If I could have built a whip and flipped over tables, that was me when I was a teenager. And I was chasing these teenagers around the church parking lot, zipping around, chasing them into another church parking lot. And in that church parking lot, they had these light posts with like the concrete pillars on the bottom. And so, why did you guys write on that? Oh. And so I cut off these teenagers this way, and then they threw their car in reverse, and they took off that way. And so without even thinking, I just threw my car in reverse, and I hit the gas, and I went backwards, smash, right into one of these, like, right into these concrete pillar things. And I just thought to myself, it had nothing to do with the car. It was, I got to tell my dad. And I remember going home and just, like, so scared. Like, just like, you know that feeling, that sick feeling? You know, do you remember that? Any of you who ever made a mistake? Anybody? And you're nauseous, there's no blood in your face, you're like sweating, and you make the phone call and you're trembling and stuff. And then they just, you know, they're like, that's not okay, you know, and they talk to you or whatever. But the point is, nothing happened. My dad didn't come and hurt me. I know, again, we gotta be sensitive to people's journey, but stop laying over on God what your earthly father was if they weren't good. What I'm saying was, my dad spoke directly to me. My dad helped me fix the situation. What I'm saying is, all that intimidation to talk to him about my mistake was unwarranted on my part, right? And even when I made other mistakes that were foolish, not in good intentions, just because I wanted to be stupid, you know, as a teenager, I could still go, and when I talked to them, it was okay. It always worked out, and they were always there to help walk me through. And I think to myself, how many times are we not talking to God about our mistakes, whether they were good intentions or bad intentions, because you're so fearful of his response? It's the picking up the phone that was the hardest part, you know, but once they began to talk on the other end, the blood came back into my face. And my, you know what I mean? My life started coming back together again. And how many of us, when we fail, we think we should have known better. I'm 50-something years old. I should be an adult. I should be this. You're always going to need a father. You're always going to need a God who's a God, who's a father that says, come to me in your time of need. Whether it's a need you caused, it's a need the devil caused, it's a need somebody else caused, come to me. I want to be your father. And as your father, I'm still all these other things. I'm Jehovah Jireh, I'm Jehovah Nisi, I'm Jehovah Rapha, I'm still Adonai. But all of that is wrapped up for you, my friend, for you, my child, as your father. Amen. Amen. And so for some of you, I just challenge you, it's making the phone call to God is more scary than what God's actually going to do when you talk about it. Amen. Last shift in our brain. So God wants us perspective-wise to see him as father, perspective as a result, see us ourselves as children. This affects us on how we approach him when we pray. I want to challenge you this week to begin your prayers with the phrase daddy or father and see how it changes the dynamic of your prayer time. I know some people love all the Jewish names and we get all hooked up on like Jehovah, Yahweh, Adonai, and we just think it's so cool to use Jewish traditional names that somehow it affects that. That's fine. Set it aside for a week. Start your prayers with daddy. start your prayer with Father. I know you go, that sounds so simple. I came to church to hear that. Yes! I'm giving you pancakes afterwards. Do what I say. Hear this. Start your prayer this week. Make yourself all week long. Start your prayer with Daddy. Prayer of forgiveness. You need forgiveness. You made mistakes. You sinned this week. You looked at something on the internet you shouldn't have. You treated your kid the way you shouldn't have. You spoke to your spouse the way you shouldn't have. You broke someone's heart. I don't know what it was. You sinned. You transgressed. You did something. It's sin. It's wrong. It's evil. It's wicked. It's destructive. I'm calling sin like it is. Everyone thinks, you know, you need to call sin like it is. I am. It's sin. It's bad. There's nothing else I can say. It's bad. It's poison. It's death. It's horrible. It's sin. So take it to God, but start the conversation with Daddy. And see how it changes the dynamic of the conversation. Do you see that? Yeah, no matter what your sin was this week or next week or whatever, you go to him saying, Father, I've sinned. And see, it puts you in perspective of who he is. He's still your father and who you are. You're his child. And he's here to reason with you. He's here to fix what's been broken. He's here to help you learn and understand how to improve and overcome that bondage. Are you understanding this? He's here to help. He's not trying to throw you out. He's trying to help you overcome. Here's the thing. If God didn't want us in his family, he would never have made a way to bring us in. You see, he's not looking for reasons to kick you out. Sometimes we think he's looking for reasons to kick me out. You're putting your earthly father over God again. Listen, God, he didn't have to provide a way in. But the way in he provided also is payment to keep you in if you want to stay in. You understand what I'm saying? And so this week, when you come to him for forgiveness, even no matter what it is, I want you to start the conversation with Father or Daddy. Provision. You need provision. Start the conversation not with Jehovah Jireh, although he is your provider. Start the conversation with Daddy, I need money. Daddy, I need help. Father, I need help. I need wisdom to increase the business. I need a new job. I need favor, Father, as I go into this job interview. Daddy, would you take my hand and go with me? Yes, you can be vulnerable to him. Yes, you can still act like a kid and grab a hold of his hand. Amen. No matter how old you are, how mature you think you are, you will never outgrow your need to be his kid. So whether it's forgiveness, if it's finances, if it's wisdom, start your conversation. Have a cup of coffee with the Lord. I say that again. And say, okay, Dad, we need to talk. I need some wisdom in an area. Father, teach me. Teach me through your word. Teach me in my heart and in my spirit. Father, and so I challenge you this week to go to God and start the conversation with Father or Daddy. Do it all week long. This is a huge shift in our thinking. If you think it's not a big deal, oh, this is such a simplistic design, let me show you something in Scripture. God actually sends the Holy Spirit to help us understand this and practice this. If it was so easy, he would not have had to send the Holy Spirit to help us do it. And we see it in Romans chapter 8, verse 15. It says, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit, capital S, which he adopted you when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. The word Abba means father. So now we call him Father, Father, or I like to say Daddy, Daddy. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm we are God's children. And since we are his children, no, all this is in the now. All this is in the affirmative. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share in his glory, we must also share in his suffering. Galatians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Father, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but you are God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Do you see that the Spirit is prompting and affirming us to use the relationship properly? To see ourselves as children now. Why would the Holy Spirit need to prompt us and affirm us? It's a good question. It's because we forget it. Or because we choose not to believe it. When times are tough, we forget or don't believe when we fail. When we fail, for some reason, we take ourselves out of family and put ourselves back into slave. When we fail, rather than being a child of God that failed, go to God the Father in your failure. He'll minister and help me as a father in my failure. So the Holy Spirit has to affirm you're still his kid, even in your failure. And then he has to prompt, call him Father, and go to him in your failure as Father. Do you see what I'm saying? Because in that moment, our natural mind reverts us back to slave. Or reverts us back to somehow distant God above. We are the worm below. And so the Holy Spirit prompts and affirms us, child, father, in your failure, and keeps it in the right place so you can deal with this properly. Or we forget or we don't believe when we have needs. When the bills need to be paid, when we have a physical need, we have an emotional need, and we're in a needy place, and again, we automatically put ourselves where the world is back on our shoulders again, where we don't have a father that's able and willing to help us. We have to fix it because we're the adult. Do you see what I'm saying? And the Holy Spirit prompts us, hey, you have Daddy Warbucks here. You have a God. You have a God who has the cattle on a thousand hills. The earth is the Lord's in the fullness thereof. He's not short of supply, and he's not short of answers and wisdom. What you must do is learn to go and ask. See, in your need, because in your need, you forget, I'm someone's kid. I'm someone's child. Amen. Amen. We forget when God feels far away sometimes. God feels far away. It's going to happen. Your emotions lie. They change. There are days that God feels super close and he feels like Father and you just like to hug him. He's just so cute. Love you, God. And then there's days where he feels like he's a million miles away. But the reality doesn't change. He's still your Father. You're still his kid. That relationship is still as strong. It is based on the blood of Jesus and the word of truth that's come out of his mouth. The Holy Spirit is there affirming and prompting you, whether you feel it or don't feel it. Doesn't matter if you're emotionally there or not emotionally there. The reality is you're still his kid, and he's still your Father, and you're in that family, and there's provision, and there's protection, and he's your ever-present help. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Whether you feel it or not, there are days I feel like going to God as my Father and days I have to make myself go to God as my Father, whether I feel it or not. And he's there. The Holy Spirit's there helping and prompting us. And lastly, we forget or we don't believe he's our Father or his children when we haven't acted like his child. When I don't act like his child, I feel like I'm not his child. When I haven't acted in a way that's honorable. And the Holy Spirit has to prompt or affirm, you're still my kid. You may be a difficult child right now, but you're still my child. Does that make sense? You may be having struggles, and you may think you're on your own out there, but you're not. I'm still right there. And if you'll just make a turn around, I'm still right there. I'm not going anywhere. I'm prompting you. The Holy Spirit is affirming you are his child, and he's prompting you to come to him as Father. Abba, Father. Daddy, Daddy. Last thought, and I'm going to pray. God, as a Father, isn't moody. He isn't moody. You know, you used to see, you know, tapestries and things on the wall where it says, you know, ain't mama happy, or mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. But dad needs the same thing, because dads, we can set the tenor and destroy the tenor of our home. If dad in our home, if dad has poopy pants, if that offends you, get over it. But that's kind of a phrase that we use. Not that it ever happens. But let's just say theoretically. In a galaxy far, far away, if that was ever to happen. You know, you wonder, the kids, you know, they come home from school or whatever, what dad are we going to get today? Are we going to get grumpy dad? Or are we going to get happy dad? Are we going to get dad that wants to help us with stuff or dad that's too busy for us? Are we going to get dad that's for us or dad that's against us? Are we going to get stressed out dad? Or are we going to get dad that's like relaxed and ready to help? Are you understanding what I'm saying? And many of you, when you went home to your dad, or maybe even yourself, you can consider, we are moody, but you know what? God isn't. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so on our good days, God is still the same. He is love. He is for us. He is not against us. We're not going to catch him on a day where he's just like, what? What do you want? If you would have caught me yesterday, I was for you. But today, I'm against you. I'm stressed. No. He's always the same. Whether you come to him in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, whether you come to him today, tomorrow, or the next day, you never will be surprised at the God that responds, because he's always the same. at the Father and how he responds, because he always responds consistently. He always responds the same. He is for you. He is not against you. He is a good Father. He is loving. Amen. He has good plans for your life. Amen. Go ahead and stand up. Let's close in a word of prayer. Did you get anything out of that today? Good. Let me pray that into your life. See, here's the challenge. God is a good Father, but will you let him be your Father? Or will you keep him in a position of God distant way out there? You have the ability to make that relationship work the way God intended it to work, but you have to choose to approach him that way. So again, I just challenge you. Will you start this week your prayer times with Father or Daddy and see how it changes the dynamic of your prayers? You know, I plant churches, I lead pastors and ministries, and you know, I mean, I don't care how long in ministry I get or how much ministry I've done. Many times I run to this altar or in my own house, and I start my conversations with, Daddy, help. I will never outgrow my need for a spiritual dad, my Father, my Heavenly Father. I don't care who you are, how long you've been in the Word, or how long you've read the Bible, or how long you... Guys, gals, we need God to be our Father. Amen. We have to allow ourselves to be kids. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to fail. You're going to have needs. Would you learn to run to him? Would you learn to put faith in that relationship as Father? Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you for Life Church, and I thank you for everyone watching on the internet right now. Holy Spirit, you are here to help us believe this and practice this. And so I ask for a move of the Holy Spirit in our lives today. It seems like a simple concept, but there's a whole lot of depth to it, and there's a whole lot of truth. And it's sometimes a lot harder to do than what it seems. And so I ask, Lord, that you would help us. You're the helper. Help us. Help us remember when we need to. Help us to run to God, the Father. Help us to approach that throne of grace and find help in our times of need. Help us to relate to our Heavenly Father the way that you always envisioned us doing that. Lord, if we've had scars and wounds from earthly fathers that really need to get healed right now so that we can see you properly, I ask for a divine work in the heart and mind of every person today, that you would release them from that bondage and that poor image of a father and aspire and dream and hold on to a higher picture of who you are and to trust you to be something that their earthly father never was. And so, Lord, I just ask for a move of God, a divine connection between your kids and you today, that we walk out of here with a sense of being covered, with the sense of being loved, this sense of being safe in God our Father's care, that, Lord, we're not out there on our own. We're out there with you. It's Father and sons and daughters doing and working the will of the Father. Lord, we give you thanks and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to call the prayer teams to come forward. They're going to be here to pray for you and minister to you. Today, before I dismiss, I want to give people an opportunity to give their lives to Jesus, to make God your God. The Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of that sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. All who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so today, if you would like to make God your Heavenly Father, or maybe you ran away and you want to come back home and restore that relationship, I would like to pray a prayer for you right at your seat. I'm not going to call you to the front, but if that's you today, with every head bowed and every eye closed for the next 30 seconds, I'm going to count to three. And on the count of three, if you say, that's me, I want to make God my God and him to be my Father again. If that's you today, on the count of three, would you slip your hand up in the air? I'll pray for you. One, two, three. Would you place your hand up anywhere in the room? Say, I'm out of relationship with God and I'd like to make it right. Would there be anyone today that would put your hand up that we could pray for today to receive that relationship with the Lord? All right, let me pray and dismiss you. Heavenly Father, I bless Life Church as they go. And Lord, as we go out and we fellowship with one another in the lobby and enjoy some pancakes and bacon and all kinds of good things, we celebrate fatherhood, we celebrate family, and we're all looking to you saying thank you for being such a good, good Father. In Jesus' name, amen.